It's the month of love at Dunkin'. Time to dish out heart-shaped donuts like the vanilla truffle donut with tasty chocolate curls on top, or the brownie batter donut topped with crumbled brownies. Don't forget Cupid's Choice Donuts. Those have pink and white sparkles for a little extra love. So grab a dozen and share them with the people you love. Dunkin' for friends, family, or pretty much anyone. It's time to get out there and share delicious heart-shaped donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Voices for Change 2.0. I am Joe Lombardo, and you're listening to me and my beautiful wife, Rebecca.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Yeah, we're still trying to wake up and welcome this wonderful holiday weekend that we got going on. Really quick before we get to our guest, just want to say, you know, it is Memorial Day weekend, and thank you so much to all the veterans and everybody in the military that have given up so much and sacrificed so much of themselves so that the rest of us may live in this wonderful country. You know, good or bad, whatever happens to be going on in the U.S., we're still lucky to live in the greatest country in the world. I know everybody says it's the greatest country in the world, but my personal feeling is I'm really proud to be an American. And that's not to knock any of our listeners around the world. We love you guys, and we're so grateful to you for listening to us. Just having a little bit of patriotism here today with our holiday weekend that we have. So please, you know, don't take offense to what I say. I don't mean it in any type of negative way. Really just trying to express gratitude here.
Yes, thank you very much to everyone that has served and that is serving currently. You know, my father was a veteran. We had a little memorial for him, and they folded up the flag and handed it to me, and it was extremely moving and incredibly honoring experience. It was really something. It was beautiful, and I held on to that flag all day for dear life. So
yeah, it was Navy, you know.
Yeah, he was in the Navy.
Beck's dad was in the Navy.
But so today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We're talking to someone that I consider very, very, very talented on many different levels. She is beautiful inside and out. She's an artist, a photographer. She blogs. She's an advocate for dissociative identity disorder, which we will get to know a little bit more about today. She is a lover of ferrets. She has some really, really adorable ferrets that she takes a lot of pictures of. And we're just really grateful to have her with us here today. So if you could just welcome in Erica Rave.
Hi, guys. Thanks for letting me be on today.
Oh, hey. How you doing?
Good. Good. How are you guys? Rough sleep last night, but, you know, that's life.
Yeah, yeah, rough sleep for us too lately with everything that's been going on. Erica, thanks for taking the time to be with us today. It's truly an honor to get to talk to you. I know you've talked to Beck numerous times, and it's nice to finally be able to talk to you as well.
Yeah, thanks. We love Becca.
That's good. Yeah, I'm kind of partial to her myself.
I had a little bit of a rough night myself, and even rougher morning. So I'm going to try my best to sound like I have a brain in my head today, but I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm a little bit out of it. So I will do my best, but if you don't have any questions for us, we're gonna go ahead and jump right in.
Yeah, no, that sounds good.
Okie doke.
Yay.
So
yay.
You've been on quite the mental health journey throughout your life, but the condition that dominates is dissociative identity disorder. Can you talk a little bit about that and how it impacts your life?
Sure. it has been, like you said, quite the journey. Been a hell of a journey. All I knew before my diagnosis a few years ago was I had blackouts all the time, what I used to call blackouts. I didn't know what was happening. I was just missing large pieces of my life. I would be gone for months. I have consistent years that are missing of my childhood, where everything is there's just nothing there. It's not that I don't remember. It's that I have no idea what happened in those time frames because a part of me had taken over. And I call them parts. Some people refer to, with DID, some people refer to their parts as alters, identities, personalities. It just kind of depends on the person and their, what's comfortable for them and their journey to recovery. But yeah, I would wake up and, you know, quote unquote, wake up random places, and I'm from Chicago, but I would wake up in different states, like geographically. I woke up in Canada one time.
With just no idea how you got there or what was going on or anything?
Nope, no idea. By the time I was in my late teens, early 20s, I began realizing that the last thing that I would remember was being angry, which was odd to me because I don't really get emotional, not in the typical way somebody else would. But the fact that I could feel this really massive amount of anger was just bizarre to me. So I began trying to avoid things that would make a typical person angry, which of course didn't help. Anger, by the way, capital A, is the name of one of my parts.
Okay.
So it was actually her that I was feeling, and I just wasn't aware of it. And she would take over to protect in all various types of scenarios. And, you know, now I'm years into therapy, so things are much different. Yesterday was a particularly shitty session, but I haven't lost hours in a very long time, but that occurred yesterday for the first time in a while.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that you went through that.
Yeah, thank you. I think it was just once I finally learned of my diagnosis, I think about things in the logical sense, and once I had finally, you know, met my doctor, because my parts were the ones I gave up trying to find help. I went to all sorts of different medical doctors. I did go to a few psychologists, because it's not that I don't have any memories. I have some and glimpses, and I knew that I had dealt with things that were unpleasant. Excuse me. So I was attempting to figure out what was going on, and it was generally a shrug from doctors, and I don't know. So I stopped going, but one of my parts, she kept going and trying to find us help, and she went to what I call an unacceptable number of doctors, which is why we do so much of the things that we do now.
Yeah, you know, the medical community, they're great in some respects and real lacking in others. And, you know, there's nothing more frustrating when you're going to this professional trying to get help and they're like, well, you know.
Absolutely.
And you know, like they can't be bothered, you know, but they'll happily take your insurance money or what have you. And,
you know,
they don't have a problem with that. So, yeah, well, no, it's a mixed bag for us too with the medical community as a whole.
Yeah, it can be downright damaging to people. Mm-hmm. Like some of those doctors caused additional trauma from some of my parts. And which is why we do so much of the things that we do, because it's just now even more so, because now I am aware of what is going on, years into therapy. So I am aware of some of these things now that I've missed because my parts talked to my doctor. And now it's just, well, what the F were you people thinking? Like,
yeah.
DID, it does, like you guys have said, and we've talked to Becca a lot now, you know. I am not crazy. I am not a monster. I am very much a boring person. I can sit and have a conversation. You're not going to notice it. It is 9 times out of 10, and that's true for most systems. You're not going to notice a switch unless something chaotic is going on, a younger part is fearful, whatever, and they happen to be the one that's able to take control. But you're just not going to notice it, because that defeats the, you know, DID is protective. It occurred because of severe trauma. Our people with DID, our brains fractured, and these parts began to develop and take over. They are not singular. Most of my protectors are fully functioning and very intelligent and well-rounded people.
Wow.
And if you had never met me, how would you know you were talking to Jinx instead of me? You know what I mean? Like walking into a doctor's office, how do you know you're talking to me and not one of my parts?
Wow.
It got problematic.
Yeah. Hey, Erica, what are some of the most common misconceptions of DID?
Well, one of the biggest ones is that we are violent.
Okay.
That parts are people hear the word protector. A protector is a type of part within a DID system. A protector is the part that will likely be the one in any given social situation. In crisis, not meaning trauma necessarily, but in the sense that you're super anxious, you're depressed. I don't experience it fully in that way, but I will get lost in my thoughts, and I tend to not experience the emotional side of things, so I say things that do hurt people sometimes, and it's not my intent. I'm just thinking it through.
Right.
But we are not violent. My parts are protective. That is a big, big difference. And it's not that they're even anger, for example. I'll use anger because I'm allowed to.
Yeah.
She's 100% nonviolent.
Okay.
She doesn't need to be. She is the alarm system, the warning system, the explosion, in a sense. The get the F away from me right F and now. Because she's a very, like, I've had people tell me that the atmosphere in the room changes. You can feel it. You don't even have to hear her speak. You can feel it. My body appears larger than it is. I do not shape shift. That's a bullshit movie thing. But in the sense that my body feels stronger, it looks larger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because she is a presence. If you come face to face with somebody that combative, most people are like, well, forget that. You're not worth it. You're right. I'm not worth it. Go away. Leave me alone. I am not worth it. You are absolutely right. But she is 100% nonviolent. Even if it came to a protective situation, she does not need to be violent. And when I say a protective situation, I do not mean that they go around picking fights with people. They have never actually once done that. No part of me has.
Mm-hmm.
But another part, for example, she is every bit a mother within our system. She is a protector. She is a nurturer. She takes care of people. She sings to people. She hums. She cleans. She is every bit the 50s housewife. The perfect epitome of a mother. She is a protector. Protector does, and that's just one of those really common misunderstood things, is that, well, protectors are violent. No, they are absolutely not. They're really not.
No, you know, and it's, I like that you're using the analogy that she is a mother, you know, that, you know, she's, because a mom does, a mom protects, you know, everyone that she cares about, you know, those who are subordinate and, or what have you, you know, whatever, however you want to refer to it.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it's, I don't want to say it. I guess it's just an appropriate term to say that, you know, she's a mother, you know, that she's looking out for. Because, I mean, to this day, you know, how am I trying to say it? And Beck's looking at me like, what the hell are you trying to say?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
You know, I'm trying to compare it to, like, a situation, like, where I deal with my mom, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, my mom's in her 70s, and she still looks out for me, you know.
Because you're her baby, and she wants to protect you.
Exactly. You know, so that's, I like when you explain protector from that point of view, because, you know, a lot of people think protector and they think, oh yeah, you know, they're going to beat my ass or whatever. And it's not that.
Not at all.
That's what a lot of people don't understand. And you and I had this discussion the last time that we talked, was I knew this just by doing a little bit of research about DID, but that's what most people don't understand, is that it's not that you're born with it or it's something that you contract or what have you. It's
right.
Your parts are created because of something that has happened to you, and they're you sort of fall into your each individual part because they're protecting you. You know, like the core of the group is you, and all you know, all around the outside of you are your protectors because of what you've been through. It's not that you're quote unquote crazy or you know, any of these other things. It's that's the big word is protection, and that's what they're there for. So I think that's
absolutely
probably the most misunderstood thing. It's not necessarily that, you know, you woke up one day and you had five different personalities. It's they do what they need to do to keep you safe.
Yes. And that, you know, that's another thing too, like with the people fear that they're going to beat their ass or something like that because they're protectors. With my system in particular, all people with DID are a little different, which it causes some issues when they're trying to get diagnosed. It does not look the same for everybody. Everybody has different parts. Everybody has different types of parts, but we all have different traumas and things that created it. We are all different people, so we all react to it differently. But that's one thing when you're talking about protectors is, in my system, my protectors, they protected me, of course, but they protected each other, and they protected other people to some extreme degrees. Like, they, because DID comes from severe childhood abuse, sexual, physical, emotional, religious, whatever, I got the quadfecta. But when they see somebody harming a child, they intervene. They have very much protected other people. And that's just another one of those misconceptions that I've come to see since we've been doing these Living with DID talks. Is that a lot of the doctors are curious if I am anxious to be around children or if I am nervous about ever having or adopting children. Absolutely not. In fact, when I learned about the DID and realized, okay, this isn't an inoperable brain tumor that I'm going to die from randomly one day. It's DID. That made me want children more, to be honest. Like, because no harm would come to them.
Yeah.
No part of me.
Yeah, they'd be,
whatever,
they'd be
child.
Protected. Yeah.
They would be, very protected.
Well, really quickly, we are going to have to take our first break. We'll be back shortly. And while we're playing out, you want to listen to David Hernandez, Beautiful.
Father in the sky, and they started to align. I see you passing by, and we're slowing down the sky. Now my love is flashing by, all I see is flashing lights. Cause you're right here by my side, can you feel it come alive? If this were a love song, would you be mine? Cause I just can't get you off of my mind. And I think about you all day and night. So I wrote you a love song, wrote you a love song. Baby, you're beautiful, I think you're beautiful.
Welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. I am Joe, and the beautiful woman beside me is Rebecca, and we are talking to the lovely and talented Erica Reve. Thanks again for being with us, Erica. Hi.
Hello. Thank you again.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
happy to be here.
We're so happy to have you with us.
Yay.
So just to jump right back into the questions. So how do you go about treating DID, and is there any chance of recovering from it completely?
There absolutely is. Recovery is absolutely possible. That's another common misconception as well. I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't aware that I had DID, but that's not true for all people. Some people are aware that they are a multiple when they are most of their lives, really. And then they just seem to get stuck in the, like, stuck in their head, stuck with their parts and saying, like, well, this is, you know, this is what life is forever now. I am just going to shrug and dissociate, and then that's my life. That is so inaccurate. There, unfortunately, isn't medication specifically for DID because it's not an imbalance of sorts. This is, that's part of the frustration from some of us within the DID community, is that DID is 100% preventable.
Wow.
It is. Because it stems from severe child abuse.
Right.
If that wasn't something that was a massive epidemic in the world, then DID wouldn't be a thing.
Wow.
But
I never thought about that.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot, that's one thing that I always point out to people, because a lot of people don't think about it like that. But, and that is one thing that I talk about with people, is because if that is an epidemic, let's just use the U.S. If that's an epidemic in the U.S. is severe child abuse, then DID is far more common, and dissociative disorders are far more common than people realize. The difference is, how many times would you go to a doctor having no answer until you just gave up? If you don't have a part that's willing to continue going to try and find help, then they are just going to manage the best they can, because doctors hurt.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It gets to be problematic. But talk therapy.
Talk
therapy is the best thing and the best way to go about it. Really briefly, I want to touch on integration, because that is something that a lot of people get up in arms about. And it's because of the way a lot of quote-unquote professionals talk about it. Like, nobody actually discusses what integration is and what that means. They say it's, you know, this magic happy cure-all, and that's not what it is. The way that integration makes, the only way it makes logical sense to me, is that instead of constantly dissociating and parts taking over and living individual lives, doing what they can do as best they can, you work together to live one life.
Okay.
So I work with my parts. Instead of just blacking out, I now know. I can feel them. I don't hear them in the sense that I hear like an auditory hallucination. It's not like psychosis at all. But in the sense that it's that inner voice that you get that like feeling. You're like, something's off. What's going on today? You know?
Right.
All
yeah.
people have experienced that. And but integration is working together to live a life like anyone else on the planet does. I imagine that you have gone to, let's say, a drive-thru before and said, oh, you know what sounds really good while you're waiting in line? A chicken sandwich. And then you get to the window and you're like, nah, but I think I'd rather just do chicken nuggets today. Everybody does that. DID is the extreme of that. But
okay.
everybody yeah. has that internal debate with themselves over certain things, you know? They just, that's the way humanity works. That's the way people function.
Right.
But now, with DID, we are working in therapy to live one unified life.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, being able to, so integration, because I am not familiar. I'm going to assume, and tell me if I'm right or wrong on this. Integration is where all your parts are kind of working in concert to live this one life. Am I correct in that, or?
Yes, that is what integration actually is.
Okay.
Some professionals, again, I use the term loosely, they talk about it in the sense that, well, you're gonna no longer be a multiple. Your parts are gonna be gone. You know, they're gonna integrate into you.
Right.
And that is just not logical.
Right. If you've been through something that has caused you to have multiple parts to you like that. You know, it's I understand trying to find the root cause and work through that, but I don't know. I mean, you know, self-preservation is a key factor in being a human, and I would think
right.
that your parts would exhibit some part of self-preservation as well.
Oh yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. To the extreme.
Yeah. You know. So. Anyway, I actually have a question that is along a little bit of a different path. How long have you been married, and how does your husband cope with such an unpredictable condition?
Oh boy. we have been married for 3 years, and
okay.
I had to think about it. Timelines get tricky for me. but yeah, we actually, just a couple weeks ago, we just celebrated our 3rd year anniversary.
Happy anniversary. That's great.
Thank you. We had been dating for years before we ever decided to get married. And
okay.
he really struggles with the diagnosis, to be honest. I think he struggles for a lot of different reasons. One being, you know, like if you, we updated a section on my blog. It's about a lot of my parts, a lot of my protectors. And he
mm-hmm.
had actually met and dated Jinx before he ever met me.
Oh,
so
wow. Okay.
He struggles with some of those aspects of it, which I understand. But we've been together for a very long time. And I tell him, I'm like, yeah, you don't, you know, he struggles. And then he does sit in therapy with us now. And that has been helping a lot and going really well.
Awesome.
But you got to think about it. Who would want to hear some of these horrific things about one of their loved ones? You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
but
it's
order
hard.
To yes, exactly. But in order to understand some of my parts, he needs to know certain things. Because one thing that really tripped him up earlier on when he was meeting with us in therapy was the fact that something good is far worse than something bad. That piece that came up in therapy, really, he really struggled with that. And he's like, but if it's good, no. Because good thing, one of my abusers through and through, she is a sociopath, a psychopath,
okay.
one of the two. She very literally is. So she would, that form of abuse, she played games. So I was, you know, her favorite girl, and she loved me, and she got me all kinds of fun stuff and goodies, and we'd play with the dogs, and we'd play in her swimming pool, except sometimes she'd try and drown me after playing. And that is just one of the examples, but something good does not mean it's good. It means that you are trying to trick me, and that is very true to some of my parts.
That's a very huge trust issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that messing a person up. Wow.
Yes.
You know,
that's
a messed up thing to do to somebody, you know?
Yeah. I think the other, yeah, you're absolutely right. And when you, sorry, one second. I'm trying to, I say step back when I'm communicating with my parts because one of them had wanted to point something out to me. You had said it's a messed up thing to do to somebody. My
mm-hmm.
husband agrees with that, and he said the same thing. But and when he says that, I point out to him, I'm like, it absolutely is. But you're looking at me, and I am 30 years old. That
mm-hmm.
happened when I was 2 years old, when
yeah.
I was 3 years old. It is a messed up thing to do to anybody. But it is a horrific thing to do to a child whose brain is not fully developed yet, and they are developing who they are, becoming, building their relationships with people and living creatures and all these different things. When that type of a severe interference occurs repeatedly, that is what causes DID.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. And again, I'm so sorry that you went through that.
Yeah, we both are very, very sorry that you had to experience that. It's unfathomable, but you know, we're glad that you're here now and you're able to, you know, bring awareness to this, you know, this entire situation. I mean, people
yeah.
need to understand what DID is all about and
yeah.
stop with, you know, the stigmatizing and everything. It's really, really important just to get the message out there that, you know, even those with us with bipolar disorder are, you know, put under the microscope and thought to be, you know, narcissistic psychopaths just because
mm-hmm.
of a diagnosis. So it's so important that we all get out there and raise awareness about what we're facing.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that, I think that's one of the problems, honestly, is that in order to not even believe it, if you were face to face with me and one of my parts came in, like you can hear the difference in my voice, even if we're on the phone, you can definitely hear the difference in my voice. But face to face, they have different mannerisms, they speak differently, they are very different from me, who I am.
Yeah.
And now they are part of me and they make up who I am and stuff, but it is in order to accept that a severe disorder like this happens, you have to be able to wrap your head around where it comes from. It comes from the torture of children. That
yeah.
is a horrific thing for people to understand. I do not mean my mommy and daddy spanked me, and that can be equally as traumatic for some people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not what people with DID are talking about. They're not talking about, I got really mad at my mom and dad because they grounded me when I was 14 for staying out past curfew.
Right.
Right.
There's a huge, and I do not compare traumas. That is not something that anyone in my system does. But what that is the standard of teenage punishment. You got grounded. Your iPhone was taken away. Your radio, whatever. I mean,
right.
Nobody really, like, everybody has an iPhone now or an app. They don't really listen
yeah.
to the radio unless they're in the car, but you know what I mean?
We're taking away your Atari.
Exactly. Yeah. But that...
That's something that us older people used to play when we were kids was Atari, for you young whippersnappers out there. It's like
anyone who has no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's think of an old school PlayStation 4. That's what our Atari was. So
right, except it was bigger and clunkier.
Oh my God, I'm old.
So you do something, Erica, that I find extremely fascinating that I was talking with you about the other day. You have these appointments with doctors where they interview you and they get the opportunity to speak to your parts. And then,
yes.
you know, they learn from that experience and so that they can help treat other people.
Yeah.
How did that get started?
That started because our therapist and one of my parts, they were discussing some of the trauma that my system had experienced because of some of the doctors. This part went to, excuse me, I'm sorry, that I got lots of physical health problems in my throat. I have nerve damage in it, and sometimes my throat stops. So it's
no
unpleasant.
Problem.
Sorry.
I'm sorry that you have to deal with that. That sucks.
That is accurate. It really sucks. but they were discussing some of the trauma from the doctors. Our therapist is unique in the sense that she works with trauma cases, DID, dissociative disorders, all manner of trauma. But she also was teaching students. She was training what Anger calls baby doctors. And through that, this part who had gone to doctors had brought up to her nonchalantly, because this part is a very, very, very anxious part.
Mm-hmm.
And she had mentioned in passing during a session, she's like, so do you think it would be helpful if they ever got to meet somebody with DID? That way they could see what it was really like and not what someone made a movie about. And then it just kind of took off from there. We spoke the first time last year to her students, and then, and they found it very helpful. Many had said they found it very helpful. And it also benefited us in the sense that this very anxious part, she saw that some of them would be able to help people. She had seen that a couple of them would have been what she calls lily pads.
Okay.
A lily pad, what she calls a lily pad. Some of the doctors that we had seen were lily pads. And she was able to continue trying to find help because of these lily pads she encountered. So by that, she means they were not able to collectively help my system,
mm-hmm.
but they could help the part that walked into the office that day. They gave her just enough hope that somebody out there might be able to fully help us. So she would see these lily pads for a few weeks, a couple months, and then move on to find another doctor that would be able to help my system collectively. Because again, just because you can help one of my parts or two of them does not mean that you can help my entire system, because they are very, very different.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I like the analogy of
yeah,
I like the analogy of a lily pad. You know, it's a safe landing place. You know,
yes.
And that's really cool. So, and
yep.
it's really interesting that, you know, you're able to get out there and, you know, talk to these doctors and let them kind of really get a glimpse into, you know, what's going on with you and your parts. You know, that's really awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, we're
it's
we
brave.
Enjoy it.
It's very brave.
Yeah.
Thank you. I guess I just don't think about it like that. It just makes logical sense to me. And I think
right.
that part of the way that I think is one reason that we're able to do this, because I don't get anxious, fearful in that sense. I can feel my parts and they get anxious and stuff, but I don't have any problem speaking to people. Large groups, small
yeah.
groups, it doesn't bother me. But in the fact that doing this does help some of my parts, I find that invaluable, so why wouldn't I continue doing this? Additionally, it could help somebody else get diagnosed earlier than I was, and they wouldn't
right.
have had to go through what we did, because that's why I woke up random places. They were going to doctors all across the continent.
Wow.
Frantically trying to find help. They don't want somebody
wow.
else to have to go through that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we've got to take one more quick break. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice today too,
oh.
Erica. So we'll be playing Fire to the Rain by Damian Escobar, and we'll be right back. Hey, good morning, and welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. We're glad to have you with us today.
Hiya, how's it going? Thanks for being here. Sorry, I daydreamed there a second.
We have the pleasure today of speaking with a lovely and talented friend of ours named Erica Revay. And Erica, we just have not too much time left with you, so we want to get a few of these more interesting details out. You recently published a book. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. To clarify, one of my parts actually co-authored a book. I was not aware, but she came into contact with a woman, and I honestly do not have the details about how she found her, but her name is Linda Sheldolin Fell. She's the award-winning creator of Grief Diaries, and these parts of me who had helped co-author it took part in Grief Diaries Through the Eyes of DID. It's 17 true stories about dissociative identity disorder and people living with multiple parts, alters, identities, and personalities. It is a interesting book because by 17 stories, they mean there are 17 different individuals who co-authored the book, and we all live with DID. So
wow.
All of us did like a collective of like an anthology of sorts. Like we all answered the same questions and how it pertained to us. And I think that the book does a decent job of showing how everybody is different with DID.
Wow. It really sounds like an interesting read. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think that I want to check that out. It the whole, not to make it make you know it sound your condition sound like it's, you know, fun or just interesting. It just the whole concept of what you go through fascinates me.
Me too, to be honest.
Yeah, it's not to disrespect you or, you know, what
not
you go
all.
Through, but it's very, very interesting, and I do want to learn more about it, so I definitely think that we're going to check that book out. But
yeah, absolutely.
I'll email you some notes, too, because one of my parts, she's actually writing a book on a few months of my life, so I will send you some of her notes. You can take a look at that because I think is one of the interesting things is that the way she writes this is there are interesting pieces to DID. There are silly, funny, odd, bizarre moments. And she writes about that. This book that she's writing is not a trauma book.
Well,
it is
cool.
A book on what my life was.
I'm going to read this stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, Erica, you are so talented in so many ways. One of your talents is painting, and we're proud to say we have one of your paintings hanging in our living room. You were recently approached for an exciting project based on one of your paintings. Would you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So for those of you who follow me on Twitter, you may have seen Euphigenia, Octopi the Third. one of my parts has a really weird obsession with Robin Williams, and we were watching Mrs. Doubtfire. So Euphigenia D. Octopi the Third is an octopus on a 2-foot by 4-foot canvas that we're working on together.
Wow.
And I had a bunch of people actually message us while we were posting the pictures of the progress of Euphigenia, wanting to purchase it. And my parts are tricky in that some of the things that they create, they will not sell. They just won't.
Right.
But a graphic designer friend of ours, I know she changes her handle all the time. Hold on. Oh, @mean_KITTEHK. Love you. Anyway, she She reached out to us. She's a graphic designer, and she reached out to us with the idea to put, to give her, send her some of our artwork so she can create graphics for it that we can produce and sell on a mass market so people could have our art and wear it, which is kind of cool. So Dissociative Tees was then born.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so you can get Iphigenia on hoodies and t-shirts and stuff. We actually just launched. We're trying a new site, and we actually just launched a Tea Blaster campaign. And it's my pinned tweet on Twitter, at the We and Me.
Okay.
And you can get Iphigenia on a hoodie. And we set up different goals and stuff like that. And right now the goal for Iphigenia is to sell 10 over the week campaign while it's launched. And then we're going to have a couple other fun designs coming out. So stay tuned
for
that. Just to clarify for folks again, Erica's Twitter handle is at the We in Me, just like it sounds. So you can find her pinned post at the top of her page. You can find out about her t-shirts and hoodies and everything through that route. So make sure you take a look, because this this painting is really, really, really good. I absolutely love it.
And it's very cool. I've seen it, and it's amazing. Your artwork is just, I love it. I really do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things.
A photographer on top of that. So the amount of talent that you have is just, it's absolutely oozing out of you.
it's got a lot to do with the DID, to be perfectly honest. It varies so widely because of all my different parts. Like I said, they're very different. They all have their own mediums and stuff that they like to use, and they use them.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Speaking of photography, what are your favorite things to photograph, and do you have any desire to do it professionally?
Well, worked as a photographer professionally. That is what I did. I did that for a long time. Actually since high school. And then I just kind of kept doing it. We traveled a lot to different disaster areas and documented like the befores and afters, the aftermath of some of these disasters. Joplin, we were in Joplin a few years ago in June after the tornado swept through the town. And then we were in Louisiana for some of the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, wow.
A few other places across the country. We've done a few things out further out west years ago. And I was kind of the disaster girl, which is ironic now. But
yeah, well, yeah.
But, yeah, we mostly the niche was travel photography, doing a lot of disaster type work, but we've also photographed a lot of performers. That is really what we enjoyed, and families and weddings and stuff. But as far as what it was that we liked, performers, musicians, fire dancers. I got a really cool friend. She's near my area. She's a hoop dancer. Hers are on fire. She's a lot of fun to work with.
that sounds pretty hot. I'm sorry, but I couldn't help myself.
No, I left you wide open.
yeah, you kind of did.
I did.
I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Tip your waitress.
All right. So Becca
looks at you like, what are you talking about?
we're unfortunately going to have to end on that note, and I thank my husband for that.
Sorry.
We've run out of time with our lovely guests today. But really quickly, Erica, once again, we just want to mention you can find your Twitter handle is at the We and Me, and you have a blog too as well, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We actually just started that in January. It's very simple. It's theweandme.com.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Perfect. So now everybody knows where they can find you, and hopefully they will hunt you down and check out all the really cool things that you've got going on.
They should, and they need to.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're so grateful for you to, you know, for coming on. Excuse me. See, I'm having the same problem you are. We're so grateful for you to come on and talk about what could potentially be a very difficult discussion to have, and made it easier on us. So, you know, we're grateful, and we, you know, we just wish you nothing but the best. And if there's anything that we can do to help you with, you know, with the t-shirts or, you know,
getting the word out on anything.
Yeah. Just give us a shout. You know where to find
me. Thanks so much, guys. Yep. Oh,
and
yeah.
We're also very grateful for your friendship. So thank
yeah,
you for
that too. Definitely.
Oh yeah. We adore you guys. The Lombardos rock.
thanks
for having us.
All right. So stay on the line for just a minute. And you'll be listening to John Williams' Circle of Life as we say goodbye to Erica Revay.
Thanks,
guys. Hakuna Matata.
Find my place.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.
Hey, Liz.
Yeah?
Want to run out for a little treat?
Absolutely.
Great. Because right now, Tim Hortons has this deal. A small hot chocolate or French vanilla is just 99 cents.
Wow. All right, how about this? When you're ready to go, shoot me a text.
That was fast. Let's go.
Better hurry. This sweet deal is not going to last. Right now, treat yourself to a small hot chocolate or French vanilla at Tim Hortons for just 99 cents. Great quality at a great value. It's all good at Tim Hortons. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Hey, Liz.
Yeah?
Want to run out for a little treat?
Absolutely.
Great. Because right now, Tim Hortons has this deal. A small hot chocolate or French vanilla is just 99 cents.
Wow. All right, how about this? When you're ready to go, shoot me a text.
That was fast. Let's go.
Better hurry. This sweet deal is not going to last. Right now, treat yourself to a small hot chocolate or French vanilla at Tim Hortons for just 99 cents. Great quality at a great value. It's all good at Tim Hortons. Limited time only at participating restaurants.